how to be healed and live without sickness. Now, actually, that would be an absurd question that would have no answer. How to live in divine health, how to be healed and live in divine health would be so absurd and would not have an answer if we did not know, if I did not know that what God accomplished through the second Adam, that is Jesus, was far greater than what the devil accomplished in the first Adam in the fall. And that is very important. In other words, what the devil did in Adam that caused sickness and disease, what God did in the second Adam, which is Christ, to cancel and to override and overcome every tragedy, every misery, every sickness, every disease, every sin that came into the human race because of the fall. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, Jesus was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. The righteousness of God in Christ. Now, what does that really mean? What it means is that Jesus came, he became sin, and he also took all of the consequences of sin, along with the punishment and the judgment of God for sin. And instead, what he did, he gave us the very righteousness of God as a gift. This exchange is what they call reconciliation. It is like a royal exchange. Jesus became everything we were that we might be who everything he is. He took our sin that we might be made the righteousness of God. He took our sickness and disease so that we can have his health and be healed. He took our poverty and lack so that we can be redeemed from the curse of poverty and have the blessing of the Lord. It says, you know the grace of the Lord Jesus. Even though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor so that you, through his poverty, might be made rich. Jesus was rejected by the Father that we might be accepted. So in this, he was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. It's a royal exchange where Jesus took the sin, he took all the consequences of sin, he took all the fruits that comes out of sin, he took the punishment for our sin, he took all that judgment upon himself so that we can be free, so that you and I can be made the righteousness of God. That word righteousness means justification. What do you mean justification? Just as if sin had never occurred. Just as if sin has never occurred. Romans chapter 4, 25 says, Jesus was delivered up. He was delivered up because of our offenses. But he was raised up from the dead for our justification. What does that mean? So that God can deal with us from that place as if we have never sinned. Justification, as if sin never existed. And so that even though you and I have done wrong, he can deal with you as if you've never done wrong. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified, how? By faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When you come into this place of the realization of justification, where God is dealing with you as if you've never done anything wrong, then there is no sense of condemnation, there is no sense of punishment, and there's a freedom that you come into, and that freedom is called peace. And that is peace. It says our Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace. We are justified because of his shed blood. How? We have peace through him, through Christ. What do you mean through Christ? By virtue of his sacrifice, by virtue of what he did on the cross. Amen? Now, let's zero in. What is this peace? What is this peace? It is everything reconciled. Remember, royal exchange. Reconciled to what? to God's original intent. Everything set at one again to that place as it would have been if sin had never taken place. Now, we are talking in the context of sickness and disease, but the truth of the matter is it applies to all of creation. It applies to everything visible and invisible. It applies everything everywhere has been reconciled by the sacrifice of Christ. That's what Colossians 1 verse 20 says. Now, we are focusing in the area of healing. But the truth of the matter is, that's the reason why one day there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. That is the reason why one day you're not going to see the curse in operation, even out there in creation, because Jesus has paid the price. Are you with me? So that peace in our bodies, that peace is soundness. It is wholeness. It is shalom. Nothing broken. Nothing missing. But even beyond that, it is everything reconciled to God's original intent, how it would have been if sin had never been. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Peace, say peace. Say peace. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, the famous passage that speaks about the sacrifice of Christ and him taking our sins and sickness and our iniquities. It says, and by his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53 and verse 5 says that he was wounded for what? Our transgressions. He was bruised for what? Our iniquities. And it says the chastisement of our peace. What do you mean chastisement? It's everything that was necessary, that was needful for us to have peace. He needed to be punished for our sins. He needed to carry our sins. Whatever was necessary for us to have peace, that chastisement of our peace was upon him. And so it goes on to say, and by his stripes we were healed. Are you with me? You see, you're going to have to know this. Because if you don't know that this sickness and disease is an enemy and you've got a right to be free from it, you're going to could yield to it, pet it, and believe God is trying to teach you something when you ought to resist it like a rattlesnake that is trying to come near to your baby. Amen? And then when you know what belongs to you, you know that that healing is yours, then you're going to fight it off, you're going to resist it, you're going to take authority over it, and you're not going to be sitting there begging and pleading for God to heal you. Amen? So it's important that you get this right perspective. Now, I'm not mad at you because I might sound angry when I'm preaching, but I am angry at the lies and the deception that has been perpetrated to the body of Christ that keeps people in a place of bondage and sickness and disease when divine healing and health is available. And my people, the Bible says, are perishing. Why? For lack of knowledge. And because they have no knowledge, they are led into captivity. Isaiah 5 verse 13. But today I am here to declare liberty for the captives. I am here to proclaim there is liberty. There is healing. By Jesus' stripes you are healed. And healing belongs to you. It is the children's bread. Amen. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 10. Let me just flip over here for a moment. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10 and 11. It says, it pleased the Father to bruise Jesus and to put him to grief, which has to do with sickness and disease, to lay all that sickness upon him, yours and mine, and the entire human race. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. Now listen, check this out. God will see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. God will be satisfied when he has paid the full price, when all the chastisement, when that's all dealt with, when he has paid the full price, God is going to say, yes, that's it. Yes, I'm satisfied. Yes, the price has been fully paid. Say fully paid. And by his knowledge, the knowledge of what he has done, my righteous servant shall justify many, will give God the legal authorization to deal with us as if we've never sinned. Justification. It is a legal argument. Amen? Hallelujah. Why? Because he shall bear their iniquities. So what happened when Jesus hung on the cross? What happened when Jesus hung on the cross? It is important Because the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of that cross, is the power of God that produces salvation, healing, wholeness, preservation, freedom from all the works of darkness. The preaching, the declaration, the comprehension, and the application of what Jesus did in that cross is what produces the freedom. What happened on that cross? When that cross hung between heaven and earth, somewhat symbolically, that cross hanging between heaven and earth, as if to say, the will of God because of this cross, because of what Jesus is doing on this cross, the will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven. And with it stretched out, it is as if it is saying, whosoever will, come, drink, come and receive from what I'm finishing here on this cross for you. Whosoever will. You see, because of what Jesus did on the cross, what he did in his sacrifice, Psalms 119 verse 89 says, the word of God is forever settled in heaven. It is not up for debate. What Jesus did, he did. It is finished. It is recorded in heaven. It's established. It will never change. And you see what happened is this. Here is the deal. When you know what is finished in heaven, faith, and you agree with it, and you believe it, and you apply your faith, then what is finished, settled in heaven, you can cause it to be settled here on earth, and especially in your own life. Are you with me? Healing is a done deal. It's already been finished. Jesus already bore the sickness. He already carried the diseases. He already took the stripes in his back. And by his stripes, you were healed. It is done. It is finished. If you can see in the realm of the spirit, you will see how totally, perfectly healed you are. But it's not going to be that way on earth until you see what is in heaven and take it by faith and let your faith give it substance and cause it to be made manifest in your body. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. The scripture says Jesus was slain from before the foundation of the world. Revelation 13, verse 8. And all that we do, all that we endeavor to do based on what Jesus has done, Ephesians 3, verse 11 says, it is because of the eternal purpose, the timeless purpose of God that was accomplished in Christ. Say, it's done. Now, in John chapter 12, verse 32, Jesus said, I'm talking about the cross. What happened on that cross? That is the authority. Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Now, if you dissect it properly and you read the verses that come before and after, you will see that what Jesus was saying is that there's a judgment that comes to every human being because of his sin, because of his wrongdoing, because of his rebellion, because of his breaking of the laws of God. But Jesus said, look, if I be lifted up from the earth on that cross, I will draw all judgment of all people that were to come to them, I'm going to draw it to myself. If I be lifted up, I will draw all judgment of all people upon myself. I'll take it upon myself. So the death, sickness, disease, poverty, lack, the curse, condemnation, sin, guilt, misery, and all judgment, all of that came. All of that came, why? Because of the fall. Because of the first Adam. But guess what? All that judgment came because of the first Adam. But can I give you some good news? Here is the good news. All of that judgment left because of the sacrifice and the obedience of the second Adam. He was obedient even unto death, the death of the cross. So that judgment that came because of the first Adam, Jesus canceled it and it left. Say it's left. Amen? But you got to know that. If you don't know it, you can't take possession of it. Amen? Romans chapter 5, verse 16, in the Amplified puts it this way. It says, the sentence following the trespass of one man brought condemnation, whereas the free gift That free gift of righteousness, it's a free gift. You can't earn this. But that free gift of righteousness that follows many transgressions, irregardless of the multitude of our transgressions, that free gift of righteousness brings justification, just as if sin has never been, just as if you have never done wrong. Man, this is more than forgiveness. You know, thank God for forgiveness, isn't that right? But this is more than forgiveness. This is more than saying you're forgiven. This is wiping it out as if it never, ever existed. This is not just covering up your sin, which is atonement. This is remission. It's removing it. It's even wiping out the handwriting that was on the paper upon which it was written. Is that it? Is that Bible? Amen. So let me give you, say the price is paid. Say it's fully paid. Let me share with you my own testimony as briefly as I can, just to communicate and to illustrate this justification. Amen? This was in 1982. Obviously, I've been around for a while, 40 years in the wilderness, but I'm blessed. 1982, it was on Sunday the 25th of July, and an incident had taken place with someone breaking into to a home and so on and so forth. And so so I needed to go down to the police station so as to file a report, all right? And when I went down there, you know, they obviously run my name, and they said, by the way, do you know you have a fine? And I'll tell you exactly what the fine was. It was 503 for a traffic violation. They said, do you have the money to pay it? I said, no. They said, well, you know, we're going to have to keep you until you either serve the time or pay the fine. And there was someone with me that said, you know, that can they write a check? No checks. So Sunday afternoon, I went into the jailhouse. Now, I went there, and when I'm there, I mean, I read this one book. And this book was about a guy named Ted Jefferson. The story of this book, and this is a man named Chaplain Ray, used to write these books for prison stories, and in it he was given, you know, the salvation message. And I read this book about a guy named Ted Jefferson. Now, the thing about Jefferson, right, I mean, he was a big-time criminal. He had been shot several times, but he didn't die. His mother was a praying mother, whatever the case is, and he had all these times when he came close to death, and he did not die. But as I'm reading this book, I can relate to it because I had been there. I had been in situations where when I was about 3 years old, I was supposed to have drowned it. If my siblings are listening, they know about it, right? If they're online. Where I was supposed to drown. Well, thank God I'm obviously here. I was supposed to have died while I'm here. And then in 1973, I was supposed to be, there was a friend of mine, some friends of mine, they were going to go to a party. We were living in a place called Georgetown, and on Thursday, I decided I'm going to leave and go up to my hometown, which was 60 miles away in a place called McKenzie. They said, what are you doing? You can't go away now. We've got a party on Friday, we got a party on Saturday, you need to stay. I said, no, I'm going to go. And I went up to my hometown, and that place was so dead. No parties at all. Sunday night, one of my friends came along and says, oh, did you hear about Chandy died? What do you mean Chandy died? He said there was a terrible accident in this particular place, and he died. This other person has broken this and that and et cetera and et cetera and so on. Now, had I been in Georgetown, I would have been in that car. And then there was a third incident right here coming back from St. Catharines to Hamilton when I flew off the road. Right, I think that was 1980. Flew off the road, the car went down in a ditch, came up, never flipped, never, and I was speeding. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. I think I was a little bit, what is the word called? Uberated, whatever it is, meaning I was, you know, there was some drinking involved. But the cars that were behind me came, and they expected that this person is in bad trouble. And they were like, and I didn't have a scratch. The car, nothing happened to the car, and they want to know, how could this be? That was the third time. So as I'm reading this book, it dawns on me that, could it be that there was angels? Could it be that God saved my life? And in which case, why would I be saved if this happened again? And, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So that was that. And I felt the call of God for me to surrender my life. And I thought about it, and I said, not, I don't like this. I said, no. That was the Sunday night. Oh, by the way, I should mention something. That Sunday night, in the jail, 9 o'clock, lights go off. And when lights go off, it means you can't read. Now, here I am. I'm a party person. 9 o'clock, I haven't even left home yet. You know what I mean? By the time I leave for a party, it's probably 11, 12 o'clock, and the party go till 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. 9 o'clock, how am I going to sleep at 9 o'clock? And that is why, but I was on the top bunk, and there was a little light in the roof, and I was able to turn the book around, and I was able to read. So I read that first book. The next day, as I said, God was talking to me. I said, no, I'm not interested. The next day, I begin to make excuses. I'm too bad. I've done this. I've done that. No, I can't do this. And then the next day, I read a book called Hell's Prison Gangs, which had people like Charles Manson, one of the guys that was in Charles Manson, Ted Watson. There was a serial killer. They call it Catch Me Killer. And when I read these guys' testimonies, then I realize, well, I guess I'm not that bad. So much for that argument. And then this Tuesday, what happened is they moved me to another cell because since I wasn't a dangerous criminal, the next day they were gonna send us out so we could probably go clean up the cemetery or whatever. So they took me over into this work unit, where the prisoners will go out the next day. And then when I was there, and that night I decided that's it. I don't want to read anything that sounds anything spiritual. So I decided to not touch anything. But then I decided I'm going to read this, you know, those tabloid magazine, Enquirer and Star and Globe. I don't know if they still exist. And I begin to read one of them. And as I'm reading, it's going blank. I can't read it. I read a sentence, and I can't remember what I read. And I got frustrated, and I just put it down, and I covered my head with a blanket, and I said, God, right? If you are real, right? And if you're talking to me, and if you could convince me you're real, I'm going to serve you. But I don't know what it's going to take. But you seem to know everything about me. Because as I said, God was talking to me for these last couple of days. I said, you seem to know everything about me. And since you know everything about me, since you know so much about me, and since you're supposed to be God, then if you can find some way of convincing me that you are real, you got a deal. I'm going to surrender to you. But I don't know what it's going to take to convince me. And I'm having this discussion. Blanket is over my head. Two other people's in the cell. And then what happened? All of a sudden, I heard this voice. And it says, Taylor? Ian Taylor? And I flip the blanket off my head. And I say, yeah? It says, your fine is paid. You're free to go. And I got up and I walked out of there. And I walked out of there like I was an heir. Because in that instant, I got born again. Did I say, Jesus, come into my heart? No, I didn't. But I had made a deal. I said, God, if you can convince me, you got a deal. And I was convinced because my first question is, how did this man get into the cell? If you ever seen the movies when jail doors come and the metal go bang, it's loud. How did he get in and how I didn't hear anything? Anyway, whatever it takes, that convinced me. But the statement, your fine is paid, you're free to go. Now, the reality, the fact of the matter is, my brother who was in the States, he had made some arrangements, and he had sent the money, and that's where the fine was paid. But that's beside the point. The point is, God did what was needful for me to be convinced. But in that, there was a message. Little did I know that was going to be the very message and the call on my life, which is to tell people, no matter what you're dealing with, that your fine has been fully paid. And you are free to go. You don't have to live in the bondage and in the jailhouse of sickness and disease and poverty and lack and curse and generational this and hereditary this. And you don't have to live there. The fine has been paid. And who paid it? Your brother. Jesus said he's not ashamed to call us brethren. Jesus, who is Lord, but he's also your brother. He has paid the price and he has paid it in full and you can go free. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Say, my fine is paid. Now, you see, when you know that sickness and disease that came because of what the devil did through that first Adam was canceled and that its power has been broken so that it can't rule over you anymore because of what the second Adam, Christ, did, then what happened is that you can now walk out of that bondage. The scripture says in John 8, verse 36, whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. And then you can, and you are planted. When you know this, you are planted on a pathway of righteousness. And you can be healed. You can live in divine health. Why? 1 John 3, 8 says, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested to do what? To destroy, to annul, to cancel, to dissolve the works of the devil. Sickness and disease is a work of the devil. Now let me put it plainly. Romans 5 verse 17 says, if by one man's offense death came by that one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in this life through Christ Jesus, shall reign in this life by virtue of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's very interesting. That verse, Romans 5, verse 17, is a verse that God gave me sometime later, around 2000 about 1994 about 1985, the Lord gave me that verse of scripture and told me that that verse, abundance of grace, the gift of righteousness because of the sacrifice, was going to be the cornerstone of what it is that he called me to teach. Amen? But what does it mean? By one man's offense, death, sickness, disease that reigned on every human being, much more, how much more, they which receive the abundance of grace. What do you mean grace? God's riches at Christ's expense. And the gift of righteousness, the gift of God's righteousness, how much more shall they not reign in this life through Christ Jesus by virtue of what he did on the cross? Romans 5 verse 21 says, as sin reigned in death and sickness. And let me tell you something. What I mean about sin reigned in death? Let me just tell you something about sickness for a moment, okay? This is very, very deep. Sickness is death in slow motion. Are you with me? That is why you don't pet with it. Even if it's minor, you can have a minor toenail stuck in your foot or ingrown toenail. Next thing you know, the thing become infected. Next thing you know, you got to amputate that leg. Next thing, who knows? You don't fool around with it, because sickness, the most minor headache, is still death in slow motion. So Romans 5 verse 21 says, as sin reigned unto death, so grace, the riches, the goodness of God at Christ's expense shall reign how? Through this tunnel of righteousness to produce eternal life. What's eternal life? It's life, the life of God. It is the goodness of God. It is what Jesus said, I've come that you might have abundant life. It is the life that God has ordered for you from before the foundation of the world, and it is the very life of Christ in your spirit. But how does it come? True righteousness. Say true righteousness. Amen. A life that is free from sickness and disease, a life that is divine health. I wish above all things you prosper and be in health. So now, let's direct. Let me be a little bit more direct. Let me explain how can you be healed and how do you live without sickness? How? I'm going to give you the short answer first. This is how you do it. Say, this is how you do it. Come on. This is how you do it. It is the application of the free gift of righteousness. The application of righteousness. That is the key to be healed and to live without sickness. Which means to live in divine health. You don't have to be sick. Now again, no condemnation if you're dealing with illness. No, so let's talk about this. This receiving your healing and how to live in divine health. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This receiving your healing and how to live in divine health. Let me put it this way first. Faith is required. Faith is required by somebody got to use faith. There's got to be faith somewhere. Not necessarily your faith, but it's always good to have your own faith. But faith is required. Why? Everything in the kingdom of God works by faith. Everything in the kingdom of God works by faith. Now, what is faith? Faith is simply trusting God and believing and relying on what he said. But if you're going to rely, depend, and trust in what he said, you got to know what he said. That is why Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen? Now, I expected, I may have expected Lawrence to be here today. Not because I know he always comes, but because let's say I spoke to him and he said, I'm coming, I'll be there. Are you with me? So, because of his word, if he doesn't lie, I can have confidence based on what he said. So, faith is trusting God and trusting and believing what he said. However, the opposite is true. When you do not trust and you do not believe God, that's when you're in a thing called unbelief. Now, Jesus said, I didn't say it. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, when the disciples couldn't get that boy delivered, Jesus says the reason why they couldn't get that boy delivered, the reason why healing and deliverance sometimes does not take place, Jesus said, it is because of your unbelief. Now, I don't want anybody to get under condemnation, but that is what Jesus said. Jesus said it is because of your unbelief. All right. And that is why people sometimes don't experience their healing. Now, let me say this. I don't want you to sit there on the ledge and be wondering. Believing is not that hard. It is not that hard. Quite frankly, can I put it this way? God has designed us. We are designed by God to believe. Whether you're born again or not, God has placed within every human being the capacity to believe. The only reason why we fall into unbelief is because of the traditions of men. It is because of reasoning. It is because of lies. It is because of religious-minded Bible twisters. Now, here is the fact of the matter is, if you didn't have, you need help from the traditions and the lies and the deception of the enemy in order to be in unbelief. In other words, believing is a lot easier than we might think. Amen? There is a devil under, I mean, don't forget, once we are functioning in faith, all things become possible. When you are functioning in faith, healing and living in divine health is possible. And you say, but I thought you said it's about righteousness. Yes, I did say it's about righteousness. But here's something as we're going to find out. The scripture says that your faith, when your faith pleases God, when your faith has the quality of it, when your faith is functioning correctly, listen to me, it says your faith is counted as righteousness. Amen? It says that back in Genesis regarding Abraham. It says that back in Romans chapter 4, verse 5, Romans chapter 4, and I think verse 9, and in Galatians. Your faith, God says, in other words then, when you say, God, I believe you, I trust you, I heard what you said, and I am going to stand on your word. God says, you believe that? Yes, I believe that. Well, God says, if you believe it, you got a right to it. In other words, God is going to credit you righteousness because of your faith. Which means then, the deliverance, the healing, and the walking in divine health, even though faith It's necessary that faith, when it functions correctly, is counted for righteousness. So righteousness is still the key to this. Amen? Did you get that? All right. In fact, in a little while, you're going to see that when you function in right, that it is the application of righteousness that will cause you to function in faith correctly. Amen? Say I believe. Now, so but there is a devil. The devil has to stop you. He has to stop you. And he is a deceiver. So what is he going to do? Just let you grow in faith and just let you go and have your healing and have divine health and then share it with other people how to live in victory? No, he doesn't want that. Why would he? So what is he going to do? He has constructed over the centuries lies, deceptions, and that deception, and have people to believe their experiences above the word of God. He's constructed this, from history, from religious-minded people, and he's that twist the word of God. People who believe their own opinions above God and above the word of God, man's confidence and his belief being limited to his intellect and information from the five flawed physical senses. He has done that. And all of that is what produces this unbelief. Lies have been peddled in this area of healing. Now, over the last two lessons, I talked about some of that, how to overcome those lies, how to destroy the lies of the enemy, how to remove those hindrances that come from tradition. I'm not going to touch it today. You can go back and go to the website, tlmh.ca/live, and you can go and check out the last two messages that deals with it. But the enemy has peddled lies in the area of healing. For instance, that you got to be without sin. Well, who's ever without sin? Jesus didn't heal anybody that was without sin. No one was born again. Jesus never spoke to a born again person. You got to have enough faith. Well, how are you going to raise a dead person? How is a dead person going to be raised if they have to have enough faith? They're dead. God might be teaching you something through the sickness. Making the Holy Ghost as your teacher, equating him with sickness. It is not God's will for you to be healed. God heals some people, but not everyone. And anytime, the devil is going to tell you, you're the one that he's not going to heal. And that sickness, and that if the sickness is that serious, the person is even at a point of death. They've had this sickness for years. This runs in the family. This is hereditary. This is an about generational curse. Maybe somebody did some witchcraft or whatever the case is. And several of these, unless I addressed some of those the last couple of weeks, but these unbelieving lies produce unbelief. Amen? But let me just say this. I can't address them now because I addressed them before. But let me give you just a little picture just to show you, to point this out for a moment. And I believe this here can be sufficient, at least for now, to put you in faith. Because you have faith. It's just you just got to make sure that you don't have stuff polluting your faith. Think about this for a moment. And I want you to hear this and you to receive it. It's say only believe. Say only believe. Come on. Only believe. Jesus said that, by the way. Now imagine that you were in jail. And that the fine that was needed to get you out of jail was tens, maybe hundreds of thousands that you did not have. But then someone came along and they paid your fine. And they paid it in full. They even paid double for all your trouble. They even paid double the fine. Now, if you know about it, can you get out of jail? If you know the fine is paid, can you legally walk out of jail? Yes. But what if you're not repentant? What if you're still full of bitterness? What if you're operating in unforgiveness? What if you're still angry? What if you're still in sin? What if you're not even born again? What about your background and your family? There's a curse operating in your family. Can you still be let out of jail if the price is fully paid? Are you with me? Because you being let out of jail had nothing to do with your conduct, your behavior, your history, your background, sin or no sin, or any other such thing. Well, I'm telling you, your fine has been paid. Jesus has paid the price. And so whatever religion might bring up as an excuse, the word of God, it is God's will to heal. I love this scripture in John chapter 5, verse 4, when it was talking about the man that was at the sea at Bethsaida. And there was an angel that came down once a year. And whoever was sick that stepped into the water, into that pool, was healed. And listen to what it says in John 5, verse 4. Was whosoever stepped in was healed of whatever. That's the heart of God. Whosoever and whatever. Whether it be a minor ailment or whether it be somebody just a few breaths away from death. Stage 4 cancer, HIV. God's will is to heal anyone of anything. Are you with me? Why? Because the price has been paid. God has decreed healing for everyone. When he said in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, by his stripes you are healed. That's the only authority that you need for healing. None else. All you need to do is believe. And you don't need to have a huge amount of faith. Jesus said, if you have a little faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be removed yonder. And the mountain will obey you. And what? Nothing will be impossible to you. To you who? You who with your tiny little mustard seed faith. A mustard seed faith can do that. And I'll tell you, you got more than that. You know why? Any person that when you get born again, they say that being born again is the greatest miracle that they could be. Well, you got that, and you did that when you were a sinner. You didn't know God. You just heard the gospel. You said, Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as Lord and Savior. Bam, and that little bit of faith got you the greatest miracle. So don't tell me you don't have enough faith. All it takes is a mustard seed to move the mountain, you've got all the faith you need to be healed. So it's a lie that says you don't have enough faith. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Is it good for you? And the truth of the matter is, Jesus got thousands, multitudes healed. Do you believe they all had faith? No. But Jesus had a faith for them. It says, "Is there any sick among you? Let him call the elders of the church. Let the elders anoint them with oil. Let the elders pray the prayer of faith. And the prayer of faith by the elders will save the sick. And if he's committed any sin, it shall be forgiven him." His sin wasn't going to stop him. And it wasn't his faith. It was the elders' faith. You can be healed from somebody else's faith. Amen? Hallelujah. You can be healed by my faith today. But yet not my faith. It is my faith. But it is the faith of Christ operating through me. So don't believe the lie that you have to have enough faith. It's not true. Amen? The scripture says that we are to forget not all his benefits. He forgives all our iniquities. He heals all our diseases. He crowns our head with loving kindness and with tender mercies. And listen, Psalms 103 verse 6. Don't forget this benefit. Listen, it says in Psalms 103 and verse 6, that the Lord executes righteousness and justice on behalf all those that were oppressed. How much is all? All is each and every one. He, Jesus, executes righteousness and justice for all that are oppressed. Now listen to Acts 10:38. Jesus went about doing good. He was anointed by the Holy Ghost. And he went about doing good, healing all that were what? Oppressed by the devil. Every sickness is an oppression from the devil, and Jesus has been anointed to heal them all. Heal who? All that were oppressed of the devil. In other words, then, you got some kind of sickness and disease, Jesus is saying, hello, I'm here. And I'm here, and the reason I'm here is to declare righteousness and justice for you who are oppressed. You don't have to stay underneath that oppression of sickness or disease. What am I saying? The will of God is to heal everyone, and that's because he has already done it. The scripture says in Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17, how that the multitudes came and Jesus healed all of them, that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, himself bore our sicknesses and carried our infirmities. What is that saying? Jesus healed all of them because that was the way of bringing fulfillment to what Isaiah had prophesied. What is the point? He did it, and if he had healed 99%, it would not have been a fulfillment. He healed them all. It is the will of God to heal anybody, regardless of what it is. And it's not based on them. It is based on him and what Jesus has finished. It is based on those stripes. And God doesn't heal people because he wants to look good. God isn't healing people to prove he is God. You know why God heals people? Because of his compassion. You'll find that Jesus was moved by compassion. God loves you, and that's why God wants you well. And by the knowledge of that sacrifice, by the knowledge of that sacrifice, we are made whole. Amen? Now, righteousness is this issue of justification. In 1 Peter 2, verse 24, looking back at what Jesus did on the cross, it says, Jesus himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin might live unto righteousness. By whose stripes we were healed? Unto righteousness. By whose stripes we were healed? I don't have time to get into this story, but if you read Job chapter 33, verse 19 to 28, God says that here it describes a situation where a man is at the very point of death. And especially if you're out there anywhere and you know somebody that they're seriously ill. I mean, it doesn't look good. They may not make it for the next 24 hours. You read this. Job 33. This person had, from 19 to about verse 25 or verse 28. This person was so sick. They must have had cancer because they had lost so much weight that their bones could be seen sticking out of their flesh. They probably were used to be 170 pounds. Now they were 82 pounds. And they had lost taste. Even the dainty food that was wonderful to them, all of a sudden that was distasteful. They couldn't even stand the smell of it. But God says in Job 33 that if somebody could come to that person, a messenger could come to that person and declare to that one that is deadly sick, God's righteousness, God says, I will heal him. And not only will he be healed, but he will be restored to the days of his youth. Jeremiah 33, 25. Restored to the days of his youth. Why? Because somebody came and says, look, God has a legal right to heal you because of what his son did. He paid the price. And if you would believe that Jesus bore the sickness, he carried the infirmity, and by his stripes you are healed. If you would believe that and receive that, God will raise you up out of this dead bed. Are you with me? So righteousness, what am I saying? I'm saying emphatically, without any hesitation, without blinking an eye, that the righteousness of God is the key to receiving your healing. And it is also the key by which you live in divine health. Now, just briefly, let me explain what righteousness is. The righteousness of God is oneness with God, oneness with God. The same way your head and your body are one, they got the same name, you is that oneness with God. It's a free gift. Now, listen to what I'm about to say. This oneness with God is so deep, so intricate, so precise. Hear this now. I'm about to say something, and if I didn't hear this from God, it would be blasphemy. This oneness with God is so much oneness that you are right as God is right. God told me that in about 1989, that righteousness is to be right even as God is right. I was still a Christian, 7 years? Something like that, right? No, it's 1986. I didn't know what I mean. And for years, I didn't know what I mean. I know what it means now. Because of this oneness, where God has clothed you with himself, with his own merit, with his own nature, you are one with him. And from that place of oneness, the next aspect of righteousness is you have his authority, the authority of the name of Jesus, so that you can speak to sickness and disease, as I'm gonna in a little while, and command it, go in Jesus' name. The person and the power and authority of the person of Christ is in the name of Jesus, and that is an aspect of righteousness. Another aspect of righteousness is that you've got rights. You have got rights that belong to you. You are a citizen of Canada. You've got rights. Amen? You are a citizen of heaven. You've got heaven rights so that it can be on earth as it is in heaven. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. None of them is maybe. Not this, but except that. They are all yours in Christ because of that oneness. All without exception. You've got rights. You are heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. You also have righteousness is also right standing, just as if sin has never been. Well, because it's just as if sin has never been, there is no guilt, no condemnation, no shame, no sense of inferiority, because the very righteousness of God is the nature of God that has lifted you up out of the realm of humanity and lift you into the God realm. Are you God? No, but you are a partaker of his divine nature. And in his presence, because of the blood of the Lord Jesus, there is no sense of guilt, shame, condemnation, because the price has been fully paid. And God sees you through the blood of Christ. And according to Colossians 1 verse 22, in his sight, you are holy. You are blameless. You are without fault. Glory to God. Now, that is what this righteousness is about. Now, you say, well, what does that have to do with healing? Here is what it has to do with healing. When you operate correctly in faith, which connects with the healing, righteousness is the key. Why do I say that? It says in a couple of places, but in Romans chapter 10, verse 6, it says the righteousness which is of faith. The righteousness which is of faith. It doesn't say, Jesus, could you come down? Or Jesus, could you come up? What does it say? It says the word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. Jesus is right here. You've got his life. You've got his name. You've got his authority. You've got his rights. So you speak it. Every time a police officer comes and somebody's breaking the law, he doesn't phone the police chief and say, can I arrest him? What should I do? No, give him a ticket. Put some bangles on him. Why? Because you've been given authority. You don't go asking the police chief. You don't go asking God. This person is sick. Lord, what should I? Is it your will to heal them? Lord, maybe they got some diseases in the. No. You have Christ. So it is the righteousness of faith, the right conduct of faith. What is the right conduct of faith? Faith must function from righteousness. Faith must function from that place of oneness with God. In other words, you're acting like if you're Jesus. Are you Jesus? No. But his life is in you. You've got his name. You've got his authority. So you're speaking from that oneness. You're speaking with his authority. You're speaking where you know that I've got a right to do this. And you're speaking without any sense of separation or sin or condemnation or inferiority or guilt or shame. And then when you do that, that's the righteousness of faith. That's the right conduct of faith. And when you operate like that, that faith moves mountains. That faith will connect with what is finished and cause that healing to be made manifest. And it is that same righteousness of faith that you learn to live this way. Let me begin to wrap this up. In Psalms, in Romans chapter 8, verse 10. And here is the key to living in divine health. Romans chapter 8, verse 10 says, the body is dead because of sin, but your spirit, say my spirit, your spirit is life because of righteousness. In other words, your spirit, when you are born again, has the very life of God because of righteousness, because of that oneness. The same sap that is in the vine is in the branch. Are you with me? The head and the body have the same DNA. So your spirit is life, healing, health because of righteousness. And then it says, and if the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead, if that same Holy Ghost lives inside of you, then that power will be drawn out and flow into your body and quicken your mortal body. And that sickness and that infirmity will be driven out of your body. Why? But now you see, the nature of God is in your spirit. And that nature of God that is in your spirit, 2 Timothy 1 verse 10, that says when Christ, his life in you is unveiled. It says, Christ, that you're, that life, here it is, life, 2 Timothy 1 verse 10, life and immortality is brought to light through the gospel. Light and immortality is brought to light by the truth that Christ lives inside of you. And as that life comes up, immortality and immunity to death. Immortality. You know what immortality means? That immortality, that life of God that is on the inside of you, it cannot be tainted by sickness, by disease, or by death. It cannot. Can darkness contaminate light? Can darkness stop light? Well, neither can sickness and disease contaminate or tint the life of God. Now, this is how it works. So when you recognize that I've got this life on the inside of me, I've got this life because of righteousness, because of this oneness, because of this communion, because of this togetherness, when you recognize that and you begin to walk in that life of Christ perpetually, continually, then there's a law of the Spirit that governs that life. And that law of that governs that life makes you free from the law of sin and death, which includes sickness and disease. Romans 8 verse 2. The law that governs that life makes you free from the law of sin and death and sickness and disease. What am I talking about? Gravity exists, does it? Yes. But you can fly an airplane by operating on a higher law. Sickness and disease exist. Sin and death exist, but you can overcome it by operating in the law of the that governs this life in Christ. That's the key to divine health. But even when you're not quite operating in divine health, if you can get that life to flow out, the same Spirit will quicken your mortal body. Romans 8, verse 10 and 11. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to close by saying this. In this area, and this is a wonderful scripture, Proverbs 12, verse 28 says, like I'm saying, the divine health comes by walking in the life of Christ. Living out of your spirit. Living out of your spirit. Now, in the way, Proverbs 12, 28 says, in that way of righteousness is life. The God life. Divine life. Healing. Wholeness. In that way of righteousness. And in its pathway, there is no death. When you're walking in this pathway of the life of Christ, this immortality, righteousness puts you in that pathway, there is no death, and that, of course, includes sickness and disease. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 4 says, righteousness delivers from death. Now, if it's going to deliver from death, you think it can't deliver from a headache? What is the point? In other words, then, this righteousness of faith, this right conduct of faith, when your faith functions from righteousness, then what happened? That is how it works. And so it is simple at the end of the day. It's believing what is finished. Believing Jesus bore your sickness. Believing Jesus carried your diseases. But then you have to believe and then you have to speak. Faith is believing, speaking, and then acting like it's true. We have the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believe. And I speak according as it is written. But where do I speak from? How do I speak? I speak from righteousness. I speak from that authority. I speak from that oneness. I speak knowing what my rights are. And I speak with a freedom from condemnation. Not believing that this sickness has a right in my body. It has. Sickness exists. but it doesn't have a right to exist in you. Not because you deserve healing. It's not about you deserving healing. You don't deserve healing. What do you deserve? It's not about you deserving, but you have a right to it because Jesus paid for it. Amen? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Righteousness. I'll share with you. Let me share with you one more story just to emphasize this point here. Some time ago, the first time when the Lord spoke to me about this was 2009. How to live in divine health and not be sick. I had learned earlier on in the 80s from a man named Norval Hayes how to cure the incurable. In other words, when somebody have some disease that is incurable, how would that work? But in about 2009, I remember specifically, I got it and I saw how to live in divine health. And I remember I was driving my daughter to work. She was going to go at, where was that? The swimming pool place, wherever it was called. Anyway. And I was coming on the Red Hill Creek and I said to her, Alicia, for the first time in my life, I see how it is, what it takes to live in divine health. That was Saturday. The following Saturday, I fell off a ladder, broke my leg badly, shattered it, all kinds of bad stuff happened. I ended up with 3 plates and 30-something, a lot and piles of screws. And after that accident, man, I lost it. I forgot. I could not remember what that revelation was to live in divine health. But then it was restored. It was restored later on in about 2015. But in 2013, one day, right here, downstairs, this place was under construction. And we were having a service downstairs. And what happened? Oh, prior to that, one day I was at home, about 1:30 in the afternoon, I went to sleep. And as I was sleeping, the Lord came to me and the Lord said to me, I'll show you how to pray over your food. And the Lord told me, number one, and he gave me Exodus 23, verse 25, which is, I will bless your water and your bread. And I'll take sickness away from the midst of you. And if you eat anything deadly, it shall by no means hurt you. And so I began to pray that way. And then he also told me that the life of the flesh is in the spirit. That is a higher level of life as opposed to the blood. There is life in the blood. Life of the flesh is the blood. And I begin to pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, as we eat, Lord, I thank you this food is blessed. It is empowered to do us good. Even as we eat, sickness is removed from the midst of us. Thank you that if we eat anything deadly, it shall by no means hurt us. And Father, I thank you that even as we eat, that same spirit that raised up Christ in the dead is quickening our mortal bodies. And your divine healing power is flowing so that no sickness is allowed in my body in Jesus' name. That's, Lord, the spirit of life. And I would pray like that. And I did that for a couple of weeks. One night I was downstairs teaching Bible study, right? And then what happened? I was about 15, 20 minutes into the Bible study and I reached for my glasses and I poked myself in the eye because I didn't have all my glasses. And I was preaching for 20 minutes without glasses. And I used to wear bifocals since 1998. This is 2013. And my eyes got healed. Right now, but I'll tell you why I did. Later on, I found out some other things. 2015, the Lord told me this. Again, Red Hill Creek. I should stay in the Red Hill Creek. I get revelation. God talks to me in the Red Hill Creek. I was coming down Red Hill Creek, and the Lord said to me, there's a place where you can live. And if you learn to live in this place, there are things you won't even have to pray about. And that place is righteousness. The scripture says in Matthew 6, verse 33, that if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, these things shall be added unto you. The very things he tell you not to even worry about. What are you going to eat? What are you going to drink? What are you going to wear? The cares of this. He says, don't even think about it. Just seek first the kingdom of God and righteousness, and these things will be added. I'm saying all of that to say this. This pathway of righteousness is the key to what? Being healed and living in divine health. All that I said today was to bring you to that point. It is the key. You must recognize this oneness. Now, you say, well, what if I'm not born again? Well, if you're not born again, it is still the will of God to heal you. You just don't have that divine life inside of you. You just have, but then you can have it for yourself by saying, Jesus, I believe you died for me. I believe you've been raised up from the dead, and I yield to you. I accept you into my heart, and I accept you into my life. The moment you do that, you get born again, and Christ himself comes and lives inside of you. Now, I'm not saying you got to be born again to be healed. Jesus will heal anybody, anytime. The will of God is to heal everyone. Amen. Now let's just pray for a moment. I want to pray for those that are online today. I don't know what your situation is, but I do know this. Whether you have a minor ailment or whether you have a major ailment, it doesn't matter what it is, it's the same cure. It's the same cure. Can you imagine if there was a pill that will heal diabetes, that will heal cancer, that will heal headaches, that will heal any sickness, that will heal some whatever the disease might be. If you had one pill that can heal it all, man, and you came up with that, man, you'd be a multi-billionaire. Well, there is one pill that can heal any sickness, any disease, and it's the gospel. Jesus and what he did. It is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the cross that he bore. It is the reality that he bore your sicknesses and carried your infirmities. Now, all I'm going to ask you to do, I'm going to pray with you in just a moment. But I'm asking you to position yourself. I'm asking you to decide right now, I believe. I believe what? I believe healing belongs to me. And I'm going to speak the word of God. And as I send that word, I want you to receive it. Wherever you are right now, if you're holding a phone, then just as a sign of your faith, squeeze the phone a little bit tighter. If you're in front of the television set, just stretch out your hand. That is your act of faith that says you agree. That's all I'm asking you to do. And just receive. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you that you've given us such authority to proclaim liberty to the captives, to proclaim healing and health. And so that today, no matter what the infirmity is, no matter if whether it's been on for a long time, whether it's been 38 years, doesn't matter. Or whether it is just a fresh thing that is just a diagnosis that just takes place. I thank you that by Jesus' stripes, my brother, my sister has been healed. And Lord, you have given us an assignment. You've given me assignment to declare your divine healing power, to declare that the price has been paid, to declare that they can be free. So in the authority of the name of Jesus, and right now you stretch forth your hand, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I speak to that infirmity. I speak to that disease. I speak to that sickness. I speak to those lungs. I speak to that blood condition. I speak to that chronic headache. I speak to that eating disorder. In the name of Jesus, and I command, go, loose them in the name of Jesus. By Jesus' stripes, they were healed. You are unlawful. And I command every sickness, every infirmity, go from their bodies in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now you say, I might not have named some particular sickness that you have. Doesn't matter. Because in the name of Jesus, I speak healing from the crown of your head to the tip of your toe. If God can heal one, he can heal all. If he can heal cancer, then he can heal diabetes. He can heal whatever else. So in the name of Jesus, receive your healing right now. And I command freedom, every power of darkness broken off of you in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, I thank you. I thank you that divine healing power is flowing right now. It is flowing like a river. And everywhere where this river goes, where there was death, there's life. There is resurrection power that is flowing. The same spirit, that same spirit that raised up Christ from the dead is what is flowing. It is not by might, but by the power of that Holy Ghost, that Holy Spirit, that power, that virtue that flows out of the life of Christ. It is flowing. No infirmity can stay in your body. I command those arms to be strengthened. I command those knees to be healed in the name of Jesus. Now, whatever it is that you had difficulty doing, just begin to do it right now. Maybe you couldn't lift up the arm above your shoulder. Lift it up. 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 In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The scripture says, as they went, they were healed. You see, the way it works is this. Healing and faith comes from your spirit. It doesn't come from your mind. It doesn't come from your thinking. So even when time goes by and you're thinking, oh, it doesn't look like I'm healed. Oh, I'm feeling this. Or, oh, I'm feeling that. Don't believe that. Don't give that any voice. It is not about your thinking. It is about from your spirit. So you remain in that place where you believe. And when you stay in faith, the scripture says through faith and patience, you obtain the promise. What does that mean? That means faith, believing, trusting God, trusting his word, trusting this anointing that is at work within you. You believe it and you keep on believing it and you stay with it and you don't give it up. You don't let it go. And as you do that, you will get what? Manifestation, which is the fulfillment in the name of Jesus.